Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Can tell that school is back in session. The traffic is worse. Stress levels are up. But regardless, it is a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And at Career Callings, our purpose is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, and by phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net, R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I am very much looking forward to my conversation today with my featured guest, Dr. Jeff Warren. And Dr. Jeff Warren is Chief Engineer and CEO of the Warren Group. He's a licensed professional engineer in 14 states, holds a Bachelor of Science degree in mechanical engineering from the University of North Carolina, as well as a Master of Science and a doctorate in mechanical engineering from Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University, all with machine design emphasis. Jeff regularly investigates personal injury and wrongful death product liability claims, as well as property damage claims involving machinery and equipment in both manufacturing and construction workplaces for both the plaintiff and the defense. Now, Jeff, I have a license for real estate brokerage in only one state. I cannot imagine the trouble it must be to be licensed in 14 states. How are you doing today, sir? And welcome to the Career Callings radio program.
I'm just fine. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the rest of you, your personal life and stuff.
Well, I've been married 43 years to Doris Tweed Warren, and we have three children. Our two boys are married, and they have, the oldest one has two children, a little boy and a little girl, Hunter and Caroline, that are 10 and 7, and we have our second son is married and has a little girl that's 4. And then we have a daughter that's going to be 30 this year, and she's not married.
Okay. Well, since you've been married for 43 years, I have this question for you. Have you got it figured out yet?
I don't think you'll ever get it figured out. I think the number one lesson is keep your mouth shut when you need to. I may have learned some hard lessons from not doing that.
Amen, brother. Amen. I hear you. Well, tell us a little bit more about what you're doing right now, vocationally with your family. I mean, with your business rather. And how did you kind of get to this point in your career?
Well, you know, the Warren Group is a group of professional engineers and other safety consultants and fire investigators that, and a team of support, people that, investigate accidents. We typically work for insurance companies and attorneys, trying to figure out what went wrong. You know, where did it start? What was the cause? Who's responsible? And how much is it going to cost to fix it? And the way I got to that position is, you know, as you've told the audience, I got advanced degrees in mechanical engineering. I always loved machinery and equipment. After I got out of college at Virginia Tech, I went to work for DuPont at the Savannah River Laboratory. I was a research engineer, and then I became a research supervisor. And what I found was that I didn't particularly like the bureaucracy of a real large organization. You know, this was a facility that had 15,000 employees at one location, and we were running the Savannah River plant and doing research in the Savannah River lab for that facility for the government. And there was just lots of bureaucracy there. So I left that position, went to work for a man who ran a small machine design manufacturing company building special machines. You know, these were one-of-a-kind machines that you can't go out and buy. Typically doing dirty, dangerous, or tedious jobs that people don't like to do. And that was, I didn't stay at that job very long. I had made a mistake. This company was too small for two PhD mechanical engineers, and I quickly realized that, and we mutually agreed to separate after about 4 months. I came back to South Carolina from Charlottesville, Virginia, where he was located, and started teaching at the University of South Carolina at Aiken, and taught for 3 years, typically trying to arrange my class schedule to teach 3 days a week and go out and try to start an engineering business the other two. And it took me 3 years of trying to be self-employed to finally have enough income coming in to make that happen. I was designing and building special machines with a company called Warren Engineering at that time, and I did that for 7 years. What I found was that business was a tough business. People don't want to buy machine designs. They want to buy machines because there have been a bunch of machine designs that don't work, sort of like quarter-inch drill bits. You know, nobody wants a quarter-inch drill bit. What they want is a quarter-inch hole.
And, yeah, that's true.
In 1987, I responded to an ad in mechanical engineering from a firm called Engineering Design and Testing in Casey, South Carolina. They were looking for a mechanical engineer to participate in the accident investigation business, and I joined that firm, and I've been investigating accidents ever since. Typically, I'm involved in machinery and equipment accidents where somebody has gotten hurt or some large amount of property damage has occurred due to things like fires and explosions, or there have been floods and machinery and equipment has been damaged, and they want to know what it's going to take to fix it and repair it, or why did the fire start in this machine, what went wrong. So that's what we're doing as a firm now.
Having kind of lived several years in the lower part of the state and in and around Augusta, which is where, by the way, my wife was born and raised, did you ever hear anybody call Augusta, Georgia, Disgusta, Georgia, while you were down there?
I never did.
You never heard of that? Okay. Well, I just, by the way, I don't adhere to that term because I actually liked Augusta, although it is quite one of the nastiest hot, humid places on the planet during the summertime, and nasty allergy season in the springtime. But yeah, Disgusta, Georgia. I used to hear that all the time when I lived in Augusta, and since leaving as well. But just curious. One of the questions I like to ask my guests is, how are you currently using your career to impact others for Christ? So if you don't mind, share that with us.
Well, we say at the Warren Group that our vision is to share the grace of God while revealing the truth about physical disasters. So if there's a big fire, that's a disaster. If there's a flood, that's a disaster. If you get your finger cut off, to you, that's a disaster. If you lose an arm or a limb, that's a disaster. What's interesting in all of these situations is typically somebody wants to get money from somebody else. And so there are people that you are consulting with, and then there are people, lawyers and engineers, that are on the other side. And we find that that's an adversarial relationship. That doesn't mean that we're enemies. We're just adversaries. You know, Ronald Reagan used to argue with the people in the Congress, and then he'd go out and have a drink with them at night. They were his adversaries, but not his enemies. And so the way that we behave in our everyday operation in an adversarial environment, I think, sends a big message. And one of the biggest compliments I've ever had is when an attorney on the other side, after the case is over, comes to me and says, "I want to hire you. I felt like you were shooting straight in this last case, and now I want you on my side, not against me next time. What I've come to realize, you know, in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 21, Paul tells us that we are to be ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. And what God has put on my heart is that we are working for clients all over the United States. I have a case right now going on in Washington State. I was in Philadelphia yesterday. Last Thursday, I was in New York. Last Tuesday and Wednesday, I was in Kansas. I testified in a trial in Louisiana last fall. And so what I'm realizing is that we have a tremendous platform with the ability to influence or share God's grace or spread his kingdom all over the country through the accident investigation business. And, you know, God says, I have a plan for you that I've worked out, and I want you to complete that plan. And it's my belief through the things that we're learning in C-12 is that if God gave me the vision to start this company, he had that plan for me, and he wants me to complete it. And it's my job as the steward of this company that he created to try to use the various things that we do at the Warren Group to spread his kingdom. And that's what I'm trying to do. I have a long way to go in that area, but that's my ultimate goal. I believe the Warren Group is my ministry that God wants me to pursue.
Amen to that. Well, the Lord can call us to be a missionary to some foreign land. He can call us to be a missionary to the workplace we're in right now, or he could call you to be a missionary like he has Jeff Warren to the court systems of the United States of America. So with that, that's a wrap on segment number one of today's Career Callings radio program. Come back after the break for more with Dr. Jeff Warren. I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, the more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a healthcare home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings. The Romiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break to segment number two of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romiser. Time to launch back into our conversation with Dr. Jeff Warren of the Warren Group. Jeff, tell us a little bit about if there's ever been a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow. And if you ever have had such career confusion, what did God do to clear the smoke for you?
Well, certainly I've been confused. When I got into the machine design business, I thought that's what I was supposed to do and found that that was quite a challenge, as we've discussed earlier, and ultimately got into the accident investigation business. One thing that we haven't talked about is that when I was a child, 3 years old, I lost my right index finger in a lawnmower accident. And I was one of these kids that wanted to cut grass with my dad. We would cut grass together. I would hold on to the handlebars and he'd hold on to the handlebars and I'd walk right in front of him. But I always wanted to cut grass by myself. And I was constantly trying to push his hands off the handlebars. And one day he cranked the lawnmower up and I started walking behind the mower. He turned his head. I think he went around the corner of the building to get a flim-flam, which was the weed eater of the day. What happened is the mower ran over a rock and a rock got jammed in between the reel and the stationary blade. And I don't know if I'd seen him do this before, but I walked around the front and reached down to pull the rock out. Of course, the belt was slipping. And when I pulled the rock out, it grabbed my finger and ultimately I had to have it amputated.
Oh man.
What I didn't realize until I was about 40 years old that this was probably a gift from God, because what it had done is created in me a passion for the injured worker. And I'm not hurt very bad at all. I have a little bit of a nub left where that right index finger was, and my mother taught me to write with my right hand, and I use that little bit of a nub to help hold the pencil. But I am self-conscious. When I shake somebody's hand, they'll turn my hand over to see that nub there. And you know, when we take family photos, I think it looks bad, but otherwise I'm not hurt. Compared to the people whose injuries I work on over the years, I mean, I'm not hurt at all. But I think God gave me that gift. I didn't realize it until I was in the accident business 10 or 15 years. What I thought I wanted to do, or what God wanted me to do, was keep people from getting hurt. And I have tried several different ways to keep people from getting hurt. I looked at the idea of a safety through design academy and how could I teach designers about machine safety. And I looked at the idea of senior safety. There's a lot of stuff going on with our aging baby boomer population, and I tried to figure out a way to get involved with aging in place and fall safety for seniors, but I never could figure out how to make that work. And I finally realized that God had me right where he wanted me, and that was investigating accidents. And I do believe some of the cases that I've worked on have resulted in changes in machine designs and product designs that have made the world a safer place. And I'm just absolutely convinced at this point in time that I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do.
If you're listening to the program today and you feel like you're banging your head against the door that just won't open, have faith that there's a reason for that frustration. The Lord's going to use that at some point to show you the right path. And sometimes we have to take a few steps down the wrong path before we get the illumination from the Lord as to which path he wants us to go down. So,
well, I would say that, there's not a wrong path. I mean, God's got you right where he wants you today. And, you know, I don't think our God is a God of confusion.
Yeah, good point.
He wants you to do what you're doing, and he'll open the doors when the time is right for you to be where you need to be, in my opinion.
Yeah, I hear you. Good deal. What would you say is your number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
I try to have a quiet time every day. My typical routine is I get up about 5 and I dress to go to the gym. And from about 5:15 to 6, I eat some breakfast and I read my Bible and I journal. I try to write down the blessings that I have every day and pray with my wife before I go to the gym. And I would say that is one of the things. The other thing that I try to do is I try to, I like a book that's entitled The One Thing. And the idea of that author is, what's the one thing you can do today that will make everything else be easier? And I try to, prioritize the work I've got to do and be sure I do those one things today to head us in the direction that we need to be going.
You've already answered, I think, another one of my questions, which is, what book would you want to recommend to my audience? I'll ask that again later on if there's another book that you'd like to recommend, but that One Thing book sounds pretty attractive. I think I might have to get a copy of that myself.
It's a good book. There's another one that I think is, there are a couple that I think are great. There's a book called Traction that is, how to get traction in your business. I think that's a great book. I'm trying to follow what he prescribes there. And I like the book Good to Great by Jim Collins too. It's a great book.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Now, in case this is different than your personal habit, which it very well may be, or it may not be, I don't know, but what would you say is the number one business habit you consistently adhere to that drives your success, if that is indeed different than your personal habit?
What I do is I try to work each case as if it's the most important case and do as thorough a job as I can for that client on that particular case. Hopefully, giving him lots of value for the money that he pays us.
Gotcha. Very good. Very good. Do the best you can in every task. That's a good, great business habit. How about productivity tools? Do you have a productivity tool, maybe internet-based or non-internet-based, that enables you to be very effective and efficient in the workplace?
I like an app called OmniFocus. I think it was prepared by David Allen and his organization. He's written the book Getting Things Done. But it's just a great little app that's on my phone and my iPad, and I can take a task and put it down, put a due date, a time. It will beep when that date and time is, but I can look today and see what's on there, and I can prioritize things from that. So I try to get things out of my head, and instead of a piece of paper, into this app that's with me all the time.
How about this one? A lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be business owners. So what three things would you tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful in a business?
go to work for the other man until you can't stand it any longer. The second thing would be keep your overhead low. And the third thing would be remember that cash is king. If you run out of cash, you're in trouble.
If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go into the real world?
Figure out as quickly as you can what it is you like to do, because you're going to do a lot of it.
We
work very hard every day, and I think if you're going to be a professional, it's not a 40-hour work week. It's more like a 50 or 60-hour work week. And so if you're spending 50 or 60 hours a week doing something, you need to be sure you like it. The second thing is there's lots of things that I could do to make money, but I don't know how to do them. What you need to do is learn all you can about the topic related to what you like to do so that you can sell that to somebody in the future. And I guess years ago, I was interviewing for an engineering position in the firm I was working with, and a guy from a trucking company, he was a design engineer for this company, and they were moving their office from Charlotte to Portland, Oregon. And he was coming to work. This was at the time I was working with engineering design and testing. We had an opening for an engineer in an office in Charlotte, and this young man came to me, and he was concerned about whether or not we had job security because we were a small firm. And my comment to him was, job security is your ability to know something that you can sell to somebody else. And what I've always had in mind was that if this employer went belly up, what I'd like to be able to do is just walk down the street, rent an office for myself, and sell my services to the clients that are out there. And if I have to pack up and move to Portland, Oregon, I'm not sure that's what I would call job security. Mm-hmm. So, what my advice to the young high school student is learn something that has value to people and that they're willing to buy. I think there's 2% of the people are providing services for the other 98%, and they're the ones that have job security. It's not the size of the employer that creates the job security.
That's fantastic advice. And, I appreciate all the wisdom that you shared with us today. And I'm guessing there's going to be some folks listening to the program that would like to learn a little bit more about Dr. Jeff Warren. So, Jeff, how what's the best way people can connect with you?
By email is probably the best. My email is Jeff, J-E-F-F, at warrenforensics.com. That's WarrenForensics.com.
Fabulous. And we'll definitely put a link to that email address as well on the careercallings.net website and our link to today's program. Dr. Jeff Warren, thanks for joining us on the Career Callings radio program today, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, and that's a wrap on another edition of Career Callings. As always, we will have a link to today's broadcast on careercallings.net/radio, where you can have access to everything we've talked about with Dr. Jeff Warren on air, plus all of the bonus material that we talked about in our interview that was not able to be fit into an on-air 30-minute program. So come to careercallings.net/radio to get all of the wisdom that Dr. Jeff Warren shared with us today. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.
We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
Well, on that long career path, and you had a lot of twists and turns along the way, which means, you know, a lot of insight for my listeners. But let me ask you to kind of identify during that, during your career history, what would you identify as your worst career failure, and what lesson did you learn from that time of your life?
Well, the biggest mistake and the one that hurt me the most financially was the job that I took in Charlottesville, Virginia, with a small machine design manufacturing firm. The mistake that I made was I sold my house in Aiken, South Carolina, and went to Virginia and bought another house. And then 4 months later realized I needed to come back to South Carolina. And so, you know, houses don't appreciate very much in 4 months. And ultimately, I sold the house for about what I paid for it, but had closing costs and realtor's fees in there. So it probably cost me $10,000 to get out of that. And that was the mistake that I made.
To kind of drill down a little bit on that experience, because when you were talking about your history and your career a little while ago, you mentioned how you kind of found out after the fact that that business was too small for two PhDs in doing what you guys do. Just out of curiosity, and maybe there was or maybe there wasn't, was there a little red flag going off in your mind before you ended up taking that job when you went in that direction? Was there something that, in retrospect, was a warning signal that you kind of ignored and took the job that, after the fact, you realized you should have listened to that warning flag?
I'm not sure. This gentleman, it's kind of an interesting story. He, when I was in graduate school, I had heard about this gentleman, and I had heard that he had gone back to get his PhD later in life. And after he graduated with his PhD, he hung out a shingle saying, I'm a consulting engineer. And I was fascinated by that, and I picked up the phone and called him and talked to him several years before I took the job with him. And he gave me a great piece of advice. And his advice was, Jeff, you need to go to work for the other man and work for him until you can't stand it any longer. And he said, the reason is when you go in business for yourself, you may not make $40,000 a year the first year. You may not make $20,000 a year the first year. In fact, you may not make anything. So you need to be really sure that, you know, going to work for yourself is what you want to do. And I have found that that advice was very good advice. I also, several years later, found myself at the Savannah River Lab coming home at the end of the day, swinging on the back porch with my wife saying, you know, if I get one more raise at this place, I'll never be able to leave. And, you know, and I hate this place. And it wasn't that there was anything wrong with the place. It's that my behavior style was not cut out for the bureaucracy. I just didn't like that. And so I was willing to do almost anything to get out of that. And, you know, what I did was I took this job with this small firm as a way to get out of there. Probably I should have looked at other opportunities and investigated a little harder before I did that. I was so willing to get out that I paid my own moving expenses to move to Virginia. And, you know, if I was working for a big company like DuPont and they were moving me, they would have paid for me to move, et cetera. But I was just determined I wanted to get out of the big company firm. And that's probably the hint, you know, I was too anxious.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can kind of gather a couple of lessons out of that. Number one is don't be afraid to take action when you know you're supposed to. What you kind of mentioned in the follow-up question there is that you knew you weren't supposed to be in that big company setting, so you knew you needed to go out and do something on your own, and you were willing to take a step of action in that direction, although it ended up being not quite what you had hoped it would be. And I think it's safe to say a lot of people don't take the next step in their career calling path that they believe the Lord would have them to follow because of fear. You know, if you had allowed fear to kind of grip you, you might still be at DuPont today or whatever, whoever's running the Savannah River site now. And never have gotten to where you are with your company. And sometimes we take a step back in order to take two steps forward in our career, but that step back had to be predicated by willingness to overcome fear and take the best step you know how to take in the direction that you think you're supposed to go. And the Lord will pivot us. As we often quote on the radio program, man devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And sometimes the first step we take won't be the right one, but it'll be still in the right direction. And the other thing was that I kind of gathered from that is we need to be careful about, like you said, you were kind of anxious, so anxious you went ahead and just maybe it's safe to say to some degree leapt before you leapt before you looked, I guess is the old euphemism. So we need to be careful about having when we're making big decisions like that, having the proper counselors in place and so on before we make that step. But either way, if you'd never taken that step, Jeff, you wouldn't be where you are today. And so it was definitely the right thing to do.
That's exactly right.
Yep. Now, what has been your biggest career success on the other side of that coin, and what made it so successful?
Well, I think the thing that I recall the most was testifying in a trial in Florence, South Carolina, in federal court, and the jury I was working for, a lawyer who was representing two college-age boys who were killed in a bungee jumping accident in Myrtle Beach. And I was testifying about what went wrong and why did this fatality occur. And the jury awarded a $12 million verdict to the parents. And what I recall very vividly was, you know, I was holding some greasy parts to show the jury, and the judge said, let's take a break. And I went to the restroom to wash my hands, and when I came out of the restroom, one of the mothers of one of the boys came up to me and said to me, it's been 2 years since this accident occurred, and this is the first time I've really understood what happened. And it was at that point that I realized we were going to win this trial, and I had a great deal of satisfaction at that point in time.
Now, what was the driver of that success? What made that particular story come to mind in response to that question? Why?
Well, I think what happened is we worked very, very hard trying to figure out what went wrong. And then the attorney and I worked very, very hard to get prepared for the trial. We met every week for a month, one afternoon, and talked about how the testimony was going to go and what we were going to say and making the answer or the explanation be as clear as we possibly could. And, you know, it was just a great success. I have been in other trials where, you know, when you're being cross-examined, all of a sudden you realize, and I don't like to have this happen often, but I have been in a trial where I realize there's things going on here that make me wonder if I'm on the right side of this case.
I see.
And that's a bad feeling. And I haven't had that happen much, but in this particular case, I felt like I was in the right place doing the right thing. And, it was just a great outcome.
What would be the biggest lesson you would want my listeners to gather from that experience?
Well, you know, I try to work every case I'm working on as if that's the most important case I have. And, you know, I think that's very, very important. And the other lesson is preparation is important. I mean, we say around here, you got to work these cases. I mean, it's pretty easy to tell the details of an accident after the fact and explain it once it's all through. But as you're working through that process, there's just a lot of hard work reviewing the evidence and analyzing what's going on to figure out what's really wrong here, what's the theories of liability that are being applied, and how do we present that in a fashion that's explainable and understandable You know, the people that are on a jury are not engineers. They're common, everyday folk. And I always like to go home and tell the story to my daughter or my wife or my mother-in-law and see if they understand what I'm saying. And if they don't, then I know I need to go back and work on it some more.
I'm glad you shared that last little bit of information there about what you do going home, because two things came to mind. Number one, of course, the biblical truth that we reap what we sow. So if we're diligent in our preparation, we will normally reap success on the other end. But I liked what you said at the very end as a second lesson, which is this. Do trial runs. You know, whenever we are taking or wanting to take a certain direction, whether it be in our own business or in our own career, we fail to see the wisdom of taking baby steps along that way. You ever read the book Great by Choice by any chance, Jeff?
I have not.
Okay, it came out several years ago now, and I just finished reading it a little while ago. And one of the big pieces of wisdom, the authors of the book had studied thousands of companies looking for the keys to success when it comes to companies surviving adversity. And many of these companies had gone through many industry ups and downs over a 40-year period during which they studied. And one of the lessons learned from their study was this. The companies that survived things like 9/11 and other things like that, whenever they saw a new direction, they would not take a huge leap forward. They would take baby steps to test out the concept. For example, they called it firing bullets, not cannonballs. You fire a bullet in the direction where you want to go and see if it lands in the right place. And once you have some verification that it's landing in the right place, then you take the big step of firing the cannonball. And the way they analyze that or analogize that is a ship firing on another ship in the sea. You fire little bullets to see if you can hit your target before you start firing your big ammunition. Otherwise, you're going to waste your big ammunition hitting the water, not the ship. You did
this
that.
This is a comment. I believe I have read that book now. That was written by Jim Collins.
Exactly.
And he later came back with the Good to Great book.
So exactly. I think Good to Great actually was first, and then this one came second, if I remember right. But nonetheless, either way, you're right. It great lesson, and you did that. You did that in a microcosm, or you do that as a microcosm with your trial preparation. We ought to use that same technique in taking the next steps in our career. If we feel like we're supposed to open up a business, then don't just necessarily fire the cannonball at the business. Take baby steps, whatever baby steps those are, to see if we're heading in the right direction and we understand God's calling correctly. Thanks for sharing that. That was awesome. Now, this kind of shift gears a little bit. Our strengths and our weaknesses are definitely clues as to what type of work we should be engaging in. So what just kind of starting out on the negative side, what would you say is your biggest weakness in the workplace that you've learned about yourself over the years?
Well, you know, I'm an engineer and I enjoy the technical aspects of the work. I find myself as a business owner as also a employee manager. And, you know, I find it's a challenge to motivate and hold people accountable. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years is that everybody has something going on in their lives, and their priorities may not be exactly the same as your priorities. And what I've tried to do over the years is I'm a member of an organization called the C-12 Group, which is a Christian businessman's group, and we look at our business as a ministry where we have an opportunity to share God's grace with our employees, our customers, and our vendors. And, you know, I've worked real hard at trying to be a better manager and company leader, and that's a challenge for me.
Gotcha. What would you say is your biggest strength?
I think I've been told by clients that I have an ability to explain complex things in an understandable manner. And, you know, that's part of what we were talking about when you're trying to explain to a jury what went wrong. And I would say that's one of my strengths. I also feel like I have the ability to to see where the ship's going and understand that we need to steer it or we're going to hit a landmine or go ashore. And strategically, I enjoy that part of the process of trying to guide an organization where you want to go.
Well, have you ever been faced with a challenge to your faith in the workplace? And if so, kind of tell us what you did in reaction to that challenge.
I had a client that wanted me to testify to some things that just weren't true. Yeah. He asked me to do that and I couldn't do it. And so ultimately he got mad and fired me as his expert. And as a result of that, I lost a lot of money and it was a very disturbing time to me. What happened in the end is he lost a child in a four-wheeler accident. This was a prominent attorney, and he had a big farm, and his child was killed in a four-wheeler. And he came to know the Lord and admitted to me sometime later. He picked up the phone and called me and said, "Jeff, I was wrong, and you were right, and I apologize." And it was just... that was one of the times that my faith was challenged.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in your case, that challenge cost you something dear, which at that time was some cashola. But the Lord rewards us for being faithful to Him and things like that. And no doubt, even though it was a short-term pain, it was a long-term gain, so to speak. So that's a lesson we all need to learn when we're in a workplace and people are throwing barbs at us for. In whatever shape, form, or fashion, our duty is to stand by the Lord, because eventually our testimony will have an impact on them in a positive way. Has there been a time in your life, Jeff, where God was apparently directing you down a career path that you just did not want to go down, or maybe just did not make sense to you? And if so, what lessons did you learn?
I think God has wanted me to be in the accident investigation business the whole way, and I thought I wanted to do other things. And at one time I was looking at different ways to make money other than investigating accidents. And I began, I was trying to call it innovation. What I think it really was distraction. And when I finally decided to quit being distracted and focus on what I do best, and it just seems like there's been a peace that I didn't have for a number of years as I was trying to figure out that I ought to do something different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One of the four steps to biblical decision making that I've kind of learned about in my studies over the years is the Lord will give you peace when you're making a choice that is in line with His will for your life. So, a lot of times people who might be in a career place right now where they just don't feel like they're in the right spot in the world, part of that lack of peace, that lack of peace may be a huge clue that it's time to do something different. So if you are taking those baby steps we talked about earlier in a certain direction and you feel the Lord's peace every step of the way, then that's probably a good clue that's the direction you're supposed to go in. And if you don't have that peace, you won't. Years ago, for example, I tried to take a step in a direction towards a certain company, and I was deep into the interview process, and it was obvious the company wanted to hire me, and I never had a peace about it. Never felt like it was the Lord's will, so I took myself out of that position, or out of that running, and I'm glad in retrospect that I did.